Welcome everyone to another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Vil. Vilma and I are so excited that you decided to join us another day. We are so thankful and appreciate all those individuals that's commenting on our Facebook page and commenting via email or through our website. We are so thankful that you're taking that time to, you know, give us your comment and give us your feedback, and we so much appreciate it. So right now, Vilma and I are really excited to have this show today because we haven't had a full panel of ladies in a long time, right, Vilma? I think the last time we had ladies on our panel, it was when we did that episode on international social unrest. Wasn't that the last time we had ladies on our panel?
I think you're correct. This is the third show that we have all women panel. I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely. This is really great. And we're meeting with pastors, ladies in ministry today. Wait a minute. Have you gone back to church yet, Vilma?
Oh, you had to ask me that. Yes, I did. I went back my second time going back.
Okay. Yes. All right.
And I actually went to prayer in the parking lot at my church. How about you?
Well, I was there too, you know, because you saw me there, Vilma. You saw me there on Wednesday.
I don't remember seeing you at church.
Well, I'm one of those who have not gone back yet. So, excuse me. I will be back in October. Praise Jesus.
Okay.
So that's exciting.
That's good. That's
but
good.
The exciting thing too is that we have one of our pastors from our church on our show today, which is exciting. We have Pastor Dana Rue, and we have...
You should have told me that because I wouldn't rat you out like that.
Now she says it.
Yeah, Vivian, we've been missing you.
Anyway... yes, well, thank you, Pastor Dana, for missing us. We will definitely be there next month. I told my kids that they need to come to church, and they're like, no, we are doing fine at home. You know, we have home church, and we listen to Pastor Chris talk. So they're really enjoying home, but I explained to them why we need to go back now, and this is a time, you know, some people can, some people can. So when God laid on your heart, it's time to take that step. And we also have a good friend of mine also, Miriam, who has been, she will introduce herself. Of course, everyone will introduce themselves and tell more about themselves. But Miriam has been an inspiration to me over the years. And I lost her for a couple of years. And then I found her again, amazingly, Vilma, in the parking lot of Chick-fil-A. That's where I found her after years of having seen her or heard about her or anything. I found this lady in Chick-fil-A, which was such a awesome,
chicken.
Huh?
She doesn't eat chicken.
Well, she was there that day. That's where I found her after many years. And we have also another guest with us. We'll also introduce herself, Elder Faye. So ladies, thank you so much for joining us. And we're so excited to have you on our show. As I say, I would like you ladies to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your ministry. Tell us a little bit about yourself before we go on to our questions. Who wants to start? Go ahead, Miriam.
Hello, everyone. God bless you. My name is Marion Tucker from His Glory Revealed Ministries. In His Glory Revealed, our focus is to grow in the Lord. It's all about intimacy with Jesus, living lives of holiness and seeking Him. So when He has transformed us, we can go out and make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, hello everyone, and I think you asked us to just sort of introduce ourselves, say a little bit about ourselves, about our ministry, both.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, my name is Faye Dadzy. I am executive pastor of Hope Fellowship Church in Daytona Beach, Florida. I have been in full-time ministry for almost 17 years. Prior to that, I was a banking executive for about 30 years. And so in addition to serving as executive pastor of my church, I also am the founder of Victorious Life Ministries, which is a ministry that's primarily focused on women bringing hope, help, and healing from the things that we encounter in life through the word of God and the love of Jesus Christ.
Hmm. Awesome.
Thank you very much, Pastor Dana.
Yes, thank you all for having me tonight. I am Pastor Dana Rue, and before I get into who I'm pastoring, first I'll let you know that I've been married for almost 25 years, and his name is Chris, and two children, Autumn and Jeremiah. My daughter's getting ready to be 21. My son is 17, and so our family is a family of Jesus Christ in ministry, and the ministry that we pastor is Word of Life Christian Center in Newark, Delaware, and we're all about reaching as many nations and generations for Christ as possible and raising them into disciples and releasing them into their mission. So that's kind of who we are and what we're about.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. So Vilma, should we just jump right in?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, so ladies, women in ministry, I know that's really a kind of touchy subject, sometimes can be a little controversial. What do you say to those individuals who say women should not be in ministry? Let's just go right there. All three would love to hear your thoughts on that, first of all, so anyone can just start.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I have many testimonies concerning that, but it's something else when you start preaching from the pulpit and you notice that someone stands up and walks out, and you know exactly why they're walking out. Or you get a comment because they see your video on YouTube and they comment, you know, that women aren't to be preachers or pastors. And so that's always a little interesting, but you keep on rolling because you know what God has called you to. And there's going to be haters, but we love them anyway. One of the things I speak about is understanding really the Word of God and the letters of Paul and what they mean in their context. And many times they're taking out of context.
Absolutely.
Well, for me, it's an interesting way that you face that question. What do you say to people who don't believe that women should be in ministry? I don't say much to them. I'm perfectly comfortable leaving them where they are, actually, if that's where you are. I don't. I'm not one who enters into vain debates. I believe that many of these positions and attitudes are matters of the heart. I've been around long enough to know unless God does something with the heart, there's not much I can do. So I don't say much to the individual. I will fight those types of battles on my knees. But in terms of its impact or import on my ministry, it's insignificant because, as Pastor Dana said, I know in whom I have believed and I know what I've been called to do. And so I'm very comfortable in my skin. And so the other thing, and Vilma has known me a long time, you know, I tell people, if you don't want me to preach at your church, don't invite me, because I promise you I'm not going to break in and try to preach. So yeah, so if you don't want me, don't invite me. And we can keep it real simple and real clean in that regard. And I guess the final thing that I would say is that, as Pastor Dana said, it's a lack of understanding. It's an immature and undeveloped revelation of the word of that causes people to be stuck in that place. But again, unless God does something with the heart, they're going to be there.
Awesome. Thank you.
Marion?
See, I believe that some people have convinced themselves that women shouldn't preach. And some denominations also have that women should not preach. And what I do, I just stand on 2 Timothy 2:23. To avoid these discussions that would bring arguments, foolish and unlearned discussions. I know whom I have believed. I know who has called me. And I know how he called me. And I have been to places where I have ministered. I mean, I have worked internationally, so I've had experiences in several countries. And I remember one country where I was told that this church doesn't allow women to preach. And they invited me to preach. And it wasn't only them inviting a woman. It was that they don't believe in women wearing jewelry. So they invited everything that was against their doctrine, their theology. And I said to them, I can't come to your church. I said, even though you're the pastor, you know, you've invited me. If I go, I'm going to create more conflict, more controversy. So find somebody else to go. The Bible says that it is appointed unto every man a harvest. God has where he has called all of us. So I believe that we just need to pray, be guided where our ministry will be appreciated, where people will accept the word that he has given us and go there and do exploits for him.
Wow. Thank you so much. You know, at one stage, I was contemplating full-time ministry, and I was hesitating, going out, doing things, preaching the word. And one person said to me, and I will never forget, she said, if a man is drowning, do you think he cares who rescues him? And that just have stuck with me ever since. And with what you ladies are saying, it goes with that. So thank you so much for sharing your heart in regards to that question.
A great testimony is that the fastest growing church is in Iran. And the way that it's growing is that women are stepping up and pastoring and leading churches and leading many, many men to Jesus. I even got a chance to see men in Iran baptizing in water men. And Jesus chose them. And if you want to argue with that, then you can have a sit down with those folks in Iran, in the fastest growing church in the world.
Amen.
Amen. That's such a wonderful testimony. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Definitely. Okay, so the next question I would think about for you ladies, okay, now that you are confident in who you are and who God has called you to be. As a matter of fact, let's go there too. How did you know that you were called, and when did you discover that you're called to ministry?
Well, while I was in high school, first of all, I grew up in a home. My mother and father both pastored. And it was interesting, as you try to escape the call of God on your life, the Holy Spirit will track you down gently at times, and other times he'll just make sure you get tripped. But one instance, or actually two instances, was in high school. Remarkably, I was at a regular public school. The kids knew me as, you know, a girl who got into a lot of different things, and that would be sin, actually. And I had to do an oral report for this one class. And I gave that oral report. And the teacher at this public school said, you're going to be a preacher one day. And I was the shyest girl in the world. And folks that knew me in that classroom and knew my behavior just laughed. And then I went to another class, completely different class, had to do a different oral report. And that teacher said the same exact thing. Wow. And here I was, just a high school student who was scared to have her voice be heard in a room. But the moment I opened up my mouth to give a report was the moment that the fruit started to show itself. So it's kind of interesting. I knew that the Lord was calling me even then when I was away from him.
Awesome. You know, my parents had an encounter with the Lord in 1974. And because my parents were from different denominations, they didn't go to church together. And so Christ wasn't the center of the home because daddy is Methodist, mommy is Catholic. I think they had made their own arrangements as to how their children would grow up, that the girls would be Catholics and the boys Methodists. And along the way, that changed. And so they couldn't come to an agreement. So they went to church and they left us at home. In 1975, they had an encounter with the Lord. And God really spoke to them. He spoke through my mom and called her to himself. And daddy and mommy started praying together. They gave their lives to the Lord. And as children, we looked at these people who would go partying and clubbing and come home and get ready for church. There was no semblance of anything. And through their conversion, the six of us, myself and my five siblings, along the way, gave our lives to Jesus. I remember starting to pray, starting to preach the word, and I attended a Catholic school. And in my school, they knew that I had become born again, Catholic school. And they would call me to preach, and I would preach and do altar calls. And people would give their lives to Jesus, even teachers in school. And it was just so amazing. And through that, it just developed. And it has evolved to what it is today. To God be the glory.
Amen. Wow.
My experience was somewhat different. We were, of course, raised in the South here in Florida, always had to go to Sunday school and church and that kind of thing. So the word of God was instilled in me for as long as I can remember. But it, years later, as a young adult, I can remember in my 20s, just one day in prayer, the Lord really just spoke and said, I heard it just as clearly, almost as I can hear my voice now, that he was going to send me with his word. But that was not what I wanted to hear. I was not receptive. And so I sort of pushed that way, 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 way in the back of my mind for many, many years. But the Lord took me on a very meandering kind of journey from, you know, being in church to leading a Bible study at home to teaching Bible study at church to over the years. And so it was sort of just that way. And then one day my pastor at the time called me in and said, it's time. And I'm like, for what? I actually thought that he had me mixed up with somebody else. Vilma, that was Reverend Herring. I thought he had me mixed up with Eloise Scales. I thought, oh no, you've got me. He said, I know who you are. I was like, what? And so it had to be God, because I had never told anyone but the Lord had spoken to me. So that's kind of how I had it. He licensed me to preach, and the rest is history.
Awesome. Amen. Awesome.
Thank you so much. Now, in addition to being in ministry full time, you ladies are also mothers. And I know two of you are mothers of teenagers or young adults, and you're also wives. How do you balance working in ministry full-time and coping with your other demands on your life?
I think there has to be balance. And your first ministry is your home. You cannot go out saving the world and you leave your home behind. And, you know, when Jesus said you go to Jerusalem and then Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, Jerusalem is home. You start at home and then you go out to Samaria and everywhere. So for me, the first thing is to make sure I perform my duties as a wife, as a mother. Just do everything. The word of God says that whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, we do to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And so I make sure that I do everything, the cooking, the cleaning, the taking care, the listening to problems, and then have my time balanced out so that ministry doesn't suffer. Another area would be when I was working full time and jogging all three together. I think you just have to sit, put things in perspective, and allow God to lead you with each one, because each one is a ministry in itself, a wife, a mother, a minister, and even a professional.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I came to realize very quickly that you cannot do a whole lot of things excellently. And so I came to realize that I had to make decisions. So decisions helps me balance between ministry and between family, and every little decision affects that balance. So I have to make sure that I understand that every decision has a reaction, whether in ministry or in home, and every decision leads to either success or failure. And I mean, there is the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. But it comes with a lot of little decisions and understanding there has to be a balance, and that I must give attention first to my home, my family, my children, and then the rest can follow. If I'm not doing well at home, I'm not going to do well in ministry. And so therefore, it's a lot of time management. It's a lot of energy management. It's a lot of decisions. And this is a loaded question. I could take a whole hour on how I kind of find that balance.
Well, give us a little example. What do you mean by that balance?
I realized that every yes that I said to ministry was almost every time a no to my family. So I had to understand that when I say yes to something, I'm outside of the home, I'm saying no to something in the home. And there's consequences for every yes and for every no. So it's weighing out you know, what the Lord wants me to do in that moment. I must give every decision some really a good thought before I give it an answer. So it's the yeses and nos are a big part of my balance. Also realizing I could be out every single night of the week with ministry, but I limit myself. So I put guardrails and boundaries where I cannot be out of the home more than this many times a week. Right now, I try to make sure it's around no more than two nights a week. Okay. That's a rule I just put in my own life. And the other thing is our family understands that this is a family mission, that everything that we do for the ministry, we're doing as a family. And it doesn't mean just because you're staying at home tonight and I'm going in, doesn't mean that you're not giving to the ministry. But every time we tell them, we thank you that you've sacrificed your time with your parents at different times. You've sacrificed some different moments for the ministry of Christ, but I will definitely never put my family at the altar of trying to build what God told me not to build. And so it comes down to a lot of decisions.
Great.
You know, I'd like to share something. I was preaching in Burundi, and after we had a Q&A, and one of the questions that was asked me is why a lot of children of ministers backslide, why they don't want to have anything to do with the church. And it was like I had a revelation that because the children feel that they are competing with the church, that when they need their parents are not there. When it's time for basketball or soccer, the mom or dad is out teaching. Then they develop a repulsion, a hatred, because it's like, I want my mom, I want my dad. I don't want to compete. So I think as female ministers, that's one thing we have to think about. They affect our actions. Pastor Dana was talking about consequences. Everything that you do has a consequence. What is your first ministry?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Is Faye going to jump in on this question?
I am not, because my son is grown.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And gone, praise God.
So okay.
And I don't have a husband. So the only one that I'm accountable to at this point is me in that regard. But I guess the one thing that I will say, when I was married and raising my son and working and doing all those things and feeling torn and what have you, it's the word of God came to me, or the Lord really spoke to me as I was beating myself up and working and running and ripping and doing all the things. And the Lord really said to me, you cannot work hard enough to make this work. And what I had to come to realize he was really saying is what the scripture says. It is not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit. And so when we allow God to lead, as both of these ladies have said, and really allow the Lord to set our priority, then I think it takes a lot of pressure off of us to perform and to be perfect.
Amen. A lot of my decisions to come back to what Miriam was saying in reference to, I never want my children to be the spoils of doing ministry. I know that I'm raising them to be the next generation. I'm going to be passing the baton on to them in one way or another, but recognizing that I do not want them to ever feel that ministry is more important than them. And I grew up in a pastor's home, and I remember a lot of time was by myself, and you know that my parents did what they could in that time. So I just remember being kind of alone a lot. They did extremely well. They raised good kids, but there was a period of loneliness. And so I never want my children to experience that loneliness because I've spent all my time elsewhere.
Thank you so much. That was very eye-opening. And you answered the question before I asked it, Marion, about they usually say that pastors' children are the worst. That's how I heard it. And that's how we used to say. But you gave, you know, a very good summary of why this is being said. Now, this is going to be probably going out there, and hopefully you know, you will be able to speak to it. Do you find yourself competing with your husband? And I know, Elder Datsy, that both yourself and your husband were in ministry at the same time. And it can become like a competition between wives and husbands when it comes to the ministry. Do you find that happening? Or can you say that your spouse is supportive of your place in ministry? Marianne, you can go ahead.
You know, everybody's running their own race. God has given each one of us assignments, and each one of us has to answer to God for what he has given us to do. My husband is very supportive of my ministry, and he has released me to do what God has called me to do. He supports in ministry, like in speaking or preaching. He supports financially, and I'm very, very thankful of that. I think, and I'm stepping out of me, I think sometimes, especially for women, when the men become resentful is when we start neglecting them for ministry. But when God gives us that wisdom to be able to bring them in and let them know that we're in this together, this is your role, this is mine, God has given me the lead role, and I still respect you through it, and we walk through it, I think it smoothens the road in terms of how we do God's work.
Yes.
Thank you.
The greatest need that the Lord really shows us concerning men is honor. Mm-hmm. And the moment we begin to dishonor something is not being, their language or their tank is not being filled up with the honor. And I believe that's pause for many couples to our ministry together. If there's dishonor, let's just say on the wife's part, then there becomes a situation where his tank is no longer being filled, because the Lord has given the wife to help fill that tank with honor. Then he's going to seek it somewhere else. And thankfully for my husband and I, we do ministry together. We have a family mission. We have one vision. And I think that when you have two visions, you have division. So your two visions, you can have separate callings, but it needs to be one family vision, or else there's going to be trouble in the house.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, what is your greatest challenge as you do ministry? What is your greatest challenge?
My greatest challenge is balance. I remember once we had a board meeting, and my board recommended they get me an office. And my husband said, no. If you get her an office, I won't see her. Said, so let her continue working from home. I think that is my greatest challenge, to be able to set time apart for ministry and then for home without anyone feeling threatened or balanced. And I think I'm working that much better now. I think the first way to solving that problem is identifying it. So I identified it and I started working on it. Because once you don't balance, you become drained emotionally, physically, spiritually, psychologically, and you're not able to give God what he has called you to do. There's a freedom in balance. There's a freedom in knowing that this is time for family, this is time for ministry. And yes, as Pastor Dana said, we have one mission, one vision. There are times that need a stand, and sometimes I want to address it this way, and my husband will come in with the rod and the hammer, and he said, you know what, it's your ministry, I'm just here to support you. So that balance, that working together and all, is my challenge, but it's being worked on.
Okay. Elder Faye, what's your greatest challenge as woman in ministry?
That's a really interesting question. I think as others were speaking and I was reflecting on that question, I think for me, at this juncture in my life, the biggest challenge that I face is committing the time to solitude, alone time with God, resisting the addiction to activity.
I love that.
Yeah. because, you know, we're in a very frenetic world and people are going and moving and things are moving and going. And so many times we equate activity with effectiveness. We equate activity with being used of God and all of that. And I'm finding for me, again, where I am, is that I need to, the noise has become deafening. And I don't want to run the risk of missing that still small voice because there's so much noise. And so I'm challenged by, as I said, that I'm freeing myself from that activity addiction.
Mm-hmm. So good. Great answer. So good. I can relate to both of them as well. For me, the biggest challenge is stopping myself from getting frustrated because ministry is people. And I can easily, I will say that is a challenge I have, is I can easily get frustrated when people are not giving their best in ministry or to the Lord. And I get frustrated when people are choosing immature responses and when they've been given the word. And so frustration. I have to work on that one. My husband and I, you know, we talk through, thankfully I have a partner in ministry, so we can talk through the frustrations and help balance one another out. But sometimes he has to bring me down a little bit if someone I just feel hasn't given the excellence that the Lord deserves or that his church deserves.
Elder Faith, you know, I know that you're not married right now, but I want to ask you to speak to those individuals who are single as single women in ministry. What would you say to those particular individuals? You know, I know what you just said about trying to find that time, that quiet time, because sometimes when you're single, you get so busy in so many different things. People say, well, you don't have a husband. But what would you say to those individuals who are single in ministry? And I'm going to come back to you two ladies, but I just wanted her to speak to those particular group of individuals in regard to women being single in ministry.
Yeah. It comes with a different set of opportunities, I think, and challenges. And as Pastor Dana has said, people are always people. And many times, as a single woman in ministry, here's what I would say, first and foremost, just in terms of how you present yourself, whether that is, you know, your appearance, your demeanor, your conduct, whatever you want to call it. I think that you really must, as a single woman, hold yourself above reproach in terms of your conduct in and among the people. You never want to be seen as being anything less than upright, holy, and carrying a standard that is God glorifying. Because here is the reality: as a single person, many times people will say things that are kind of off the wall. They will test the waters, especially as young single women, that kind of thing. So you always, and it's interesting about women, when people say things, especially men, let me just say what I'm saying, especially men, who, when men say things to women that make us uncomfortable, many times our response is a nervous laugh. Well, many times men interpret that laugh as, oh, she likes that, I'll say more. So you have to make sure that your standards are such that who you are and whose you are is clear at all times. You never want to give a man's wife one moment of discomfort in terms of your motive and who you are and what you stand for.
Now, I have a question just pop in my head. What would you say in this time? We have social unrest going on. We have Corona going on. And what would you say is the thing that have you ladies, like a scripture, or what are you standing on in this time, in this season, that so many things are going on in our country today? As women, what are you standing on? What are you asking God for in this particular season?
41:10, fear not, I am thy God. Be not dismayed, I will help you, I will strengthen you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In times like this, we need God. In Psalm 121, verse 5, he says he will preserve our souls. We need to keep a mind focused on Christ. We need to, Hebrews 6:19, have him as the anchor of our souls. Because if we don't have that anchor, we are going to just be tossed like a kite. And when we seek God and his righteousness, all these other things, the needs, the desires, everything shall be added unto us. In this time of adversity, God is going to make us prosper, that the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh shall see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Amen.
Amen. Nehemiah has just come up again for me, and he was grieved about what was grieving the Lord. The city was burnt down and destroyed. The people were scattered and the people were hurting. And it grieved the heart of God so much that he gave Nehemiah an assignment. And so my thing is, what is that one thing I'm to do that brings restoration? Because it was something that grieved God's heart, became Nehemiah's priority and focus, and he stayed focused. There was a lot of things he could have done in the city of rebuilding that city, but he was like, I'm going to rebuild the walls. The financial things, we can raise up some other people for this. You know, family situations, we can bring somebody else up for that. But what is the one thing God wants me to do to rebuild and restore and redeem this city? And that was to build the wall. So my question for myself and to provoke others in this time, what is the one thing that you can do in this season of unrest that we're in? Because between everything from the pandemic to the situation concerning racism, concerning social injustices, all of that grieves the heart of God. So we are an answer to what grieves God's heart. And he uses people to restore and rebuild. So what's that one thing? So that's kind of been going on in the head and the heart, especially today.
Well, for me, and I'm involved in a lot of things, and the Lord is really, you know, at this stage in my life, I thought that I would sort of be on cruise control. God has had other ideas. So it seems like my borders are not shrinking. It seems like he's enlarging them. And I'm like, okay, God, do what you do it. I'm going to leave it all on the field. So I'm going to do it until you say don't. But for me, in this time of so much happening, and this whole business of this racism and bigotry and hate that is going on has really impacted me as a minister, as an African-American woman in this country. And so I've had to really go back to the Father, to the feet of the Father. And here is what the Lord said to me out of his word: with all diligence, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And so I've had to very, very mindful not to become what I despise.
Wow. Wow. Very good.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful. Now, I have one other question that I want to ask you. Ministry looked like there's a lot of glitz and glamour. Looking at it, people call you elder, people call you minister, people call you first lady, people seem to be falling to do things for you. What do you say to the person who wants to go in ministry because they are so impressed by the appearance of the glitz and the glamour?
Jesus was a servant leader. And Jesus is our role model for any of us going into leadership. And Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. He was all about, to be a leader, you must be a servant. So if you're looking to come into ministry, then you're looking to be a servant. And if you're thinking it's for your brand, oh, I get that a lot. There's a lot of people who want to exalt their brand right now. And I get really frustrated when I see people who are calling it ministry, but it's really about the ministry of themselves instead of the ministry of Christ. I'm a little passionate about that. But it's all about his brand, not your brand. And again, it's all about being a servant.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say ditto. That's it. It's, yeah, ditto. That's it. Ministry is about meeting needs. And so if you want to meet the needs of others, you may have the qualifications for ministry. Jesus said he came to serve and not to be served. And so it is about serving and meeting the needs of others. And if you're coming at it from any other angle, I think you probably have missed the main point.
You know, when Jesus was talking to Peter in John 21, if you read 15 to 17, he said, "Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my lamb, feed my sheep, nurture my sheep." And when you have to feed, you have to nurture. It's about loving. It is about giving of yourself. And if you haven't got it from God, that agape love, that love that sacrificed itself on the cross, then you have no place being in ministry. Mm. Ministry is about loving people to Jesus. Ministry is about serving people, you know. And I mean, this whole thing about glamour, God, ministry is not glamorous. It is glorious, but it is not glamorous. And I tell people, I mean, sometimes you go to preach, by the time you get there, somebody wants to carry your Bible, they want to carry your pocketbook. And I tell them, you know what? Carry me. If you can't carry me, leave me to carry my Bible and my stuff. I don't want anybody carrying anything for me, you know? And I think we are the ones who should know that it is about serving, it is about loving, it is about sacrificing. And even if people want to put us in that category, we make a decision not to allow ourselves to be put there, you know? And for me, I walk that all the time, you know? Is it title or legacy? What has God called us to? When I'm invited to preach, the first thing people ask, what is your title? See, my name is Marian. And you know, when you don't have a title in this world, people don't respect you because they want you to have a title, prophetess, minister. I know that all that is nothing. Right. If you have missed that call of God, I think as women of God, men of God, we have to be focused on Christ and follow his example. He left all the glamour and he came down to be a servant, to serve men. Read Philippians 2:5, 5-8. You will see what he sacrificed to come and be our savior.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So good. That was so good, ladies. I know you somewhat touch on this question that I'm going to ask, but what is the best piece of advice have you ever received or something that throughout your years of ministry that you came across and you said, man, I wish someone did tell me this, that you can have to say to someone who's coming up or something that you discover? It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a little thing, but what is that one thing or that piece of advice have you received or that thing that you said, man, I wish someone told me this a year ago or 10 years ago or whatever. What is that that you would give to someone else? Go ahead, Mary.
Okay. The first advice I'll give them is don't be too busy chasing ministry and forget the one who sent you. That place of intimacy is sometimes rushed. To be able to go out and minister, you have to have spent time in that secret place. You can't give what you don't have. Many Christians in ministry are spiritually burnt out, but they are there riding on fumes. But when we spend time with God, he refreshes us. He sends us out. And that's what I'll say to somebody. Two things. That, don't spend time, don't be too busy chasing ministry and you forget the one who sent you. And 1 Corinthians 9:27, I buffet my body, lest after I have ministered, I be disqualified.
Mm. Amen.
Along those, go ahead, Elder.
No, go ahead, Pastor Dana, go ahead.
Along those lines that Miriam was speaking about, within the last 2 years, year and a half, 2 years, I've really gotten the concept that we must get back to having a Sabbath, that we're very good at, you know, obeying all the other, you know, the 10 commandments, those other 9, but we forget about that God instituted the Sabbath. And it's not just a Jewish thing. It's for all of us. Even he took a Sabbath from the beginning of time. So I've become very much a little bit religious in a way about having a Sabbath and protecting the Sabbath, because the Lord, if he needs one, I sure do need one. So it's incorporating the Sabbath. I wish that was a big part of my Christianity being built up as a leader, but thankfully God gave it to me within these last couple of years, is that we must put importance on that commandment as well.
I think for me, if you're thinking about someone starting out or someone really looking at being in ministry, I think the one piece of it I would give that it sort of is a cumulative thing that I learned from maybe a couple of people is that calling and capability are not synonymous. And that even though God has called you, you still should submit to your leader and learn. Just because you've been called doesn't mean you're ready to run a 3-night revival the next week. Right? So the word says that Jesus grew in stature and in favor with man and with God. Jesus had a process that's a part of that. And so don't get so excited, as Marion said, about running out chasing ministry and opportunities to preach and to be heard and to be seen, but submit yourself to your leadership and let them nurture you and pour into you so that your calling, you are capable of carrying out the call.
So good. So good.
Amen.
Is there anything that you have on your heart that you want to share with anyone at this time?
You know, you asked a question about what will settle unmarried people in ministry. I got married when I was 38, and I was in ministry at that time. And just as our sister here said, Sister Faye, there's a stigma when you are not married, especially among married women, you're out there. But as was said, and as was said of Daniel in Daniel 6:5, that the only faults that they could find against Daniel had to do with his God. The character, the knowledge, the competence, the consistency of your work. People are always to talk. People might see you and feel threatened. You don't have to do anything for them to talk about you. I just want to encourage that person who is single and out there. Keep your eyes on God. As long as you know you are in right standing with God. In Matthew 5:11, the Bible says, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of people against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Walk right with God. He'll cover you. He's got your back. He'll protect you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
One quick word on that, because everything that's been said has been excellent, is that the Apostle Paul spoke very highly of marriage, but he also spoke very highly of being single.
Hallelujah.
So praise God, our mentor in the faith.
Amen.
Spoke very highly of being single and in ministry.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome. Now, Velma, do you want to close us out?
Yeah, I just want to thank these very great ladies who I really admire, not only for the work they do in ministry, but just for the person they are and the love that I see them show. They're not only in ministry, but they also walk their talk. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come on our podcast today. And I have heard what you said. I hear you. And I'm going to be looking back over some of the things you said. And it has encouraged me. And I'm sure it will encourage those who are going to be tuning into our podcast. So I really thank you. And take out what I want you ladies who are listening to think about. Are you called? Are you really called to be in ministry? And if you know you are called, you know God will equip you, and it's not an easy road that you will travel, but you will be able to accomplish because He is able to take you through. So it's about being a servant. It's not about the glamour.
Amen.
So before you can see yourself as a leader, you have to be a servant.
Amen.
So think on these things.
Awesome, awesome. Well, guys, this is another episode of Life Chat with Vivinville. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.